Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, this Transfiguration Sunday, and that account, Matthew chapter 17, beginning at the first verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. This was a basic Bible principle in their courts of justice in the Old Testament. That's why they couldn't make a case against the Lord Jesus when they brought him to trial, because they couldn't get any witnesses that would agree with each other. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. Now, we have a similar thing today. We have a similar principle when we talk about people taking the witness stand. When they do that, they testify to what they've seen. They testify to something perhaps they've heard. They testify to what they know. They testify to what they are an expert in. And so when our Lord Jesus went up on a high mountain, he brought along how many witnesses? Three. Three witnesses. That's all you needed. Didn't need more than that. Peter, James, and John, his brother. And Peter would remember that years later when he wrote our epistle lesson, 2 Peter chapter 1. He said this. He said, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths." In other words, these weren't stories made up by human beings to be added to the Bible. "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." Peter, James, and John, on the evidence of two or three witnesses, shall a matter be confirmed. But there weren't just two or three. There were other witnesses: Moses and Elijah. Without error, without sin, because they are in glory, they also bear witness to the Lord Jesus. They confirm who he is. And not only they, but also what they represent. Moses, speaking for the entire first part of the Bible, which he wrote. Elijah, speaking for all of the prophets, some of them who wrote in the Bible, some of them who just preached God's word. And so the book of Hebrews talks about a great cloud of witnesses, witnesses that Jesus is the Savior, that he's the Son of God, that he is true God. And so we could say that the Bible itself testifies to the Lord, the whole thing. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, or even more, a matter shall be confirmed. And then, of course, there was the greatest witness, God the Father himself. "The voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" This one, not somebody else. This one here. "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven. We were with him on the holy mountain." And so we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? How could something be more confirmed than what God says in the Bible? The only thing that could be more confirmed than that is the one who wrote the Bible, the Lord God, our Lord Jesus himself. And so you have, in the New Testament, Jesus' transfiguration, just like it was in the Old Testament. Moses went up on Mount Sinai, but he didn't go up by himself. There was Nadab and Abihu and Aaron, three witnesses. And then 70 of the foremost men of the people of Israel. And that's our Old Testament lesson for today, Exodus chapter 24. They saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, like a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. And what was it that Peter and James and John saw? We are told the God of Israel. They saw the God of Israel transfigured before them, his face like the shine, like the sun, his garments shining as white as the light. Peter said, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father. And the voice came from God the Father, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Well pleased. Well pleased with his perfect life rendered to the Lord on your behalf. Well pleased with his obedient death to take away the sin of the world on your behalf. Well pleased because he's the only person ever born who was fully perfect and fully obedient to his heavenly Father without sin on your behalf. And so there's the old Easter hymn, which says, "See, his blood now marks our door." That's Passover, if you remember. His blood now marks our door. Faith points to that. And death passes over. And Satan cannot harm us. Hallelujah. And that being so, the Father makes it clear. Peter reaffirms it in the epistle. There's one simple conclusion to draw from all of this. Listen to him. Listen to him. Even if God didn't say it, you'd already know. Listen to him. All the things that are testified to about Jesus. Listen to him. Except it's not always that simple, is it? It's not always that simple. Sometimes it's the farthest thing from possibility for a sinful person. I mean, you go up on the mountain of transfiguration, what do you have Peter doing? He's jabbering away like a fool, talking about making tents for Moses and Elijah. He isn't listening. He's talking. You got Aaron up on the mountain of Mount Sinai. After he sees all of this, what does he do? He comes down the mountain and he builds for the people a golden calf. Was he listening? Was Israel listening? The people, when they demanded a golden calf, was Moses listening? When he got so angry that he took the Ten Commandments and he threw them on the ground and they shattered in a million pieces. The whole Bible is a history of people who saw plenty, heard plenty, but they weren't listening. And yet, where the Holy Spirit works, there have been some who do listen, not always because we're sinful people, but some who do listen, some who did listen. Even in the darkest days for the prophet Elijah, he thought he was the only one left. Nobody else believes in the Lord, and what did God say? He said, "Well, no, there's still 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal." It's not a big number, but it's still some who listen. Some who listen. What do you say? Well, what does the old song say? "Lord, I want to be in that number," what? When the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number. I want to be with those, Lord, even if it's only a few. I want to be among those who listen to what you had to say. Because when a person listens to what the Lord says, as the epistle lesson for today reminds us, you're in a good place. Because this world is dark, and when things go dark, what do you need? When the power goes off, what do you need? You look for a match. You look for a candle. You look for your phone. Or you say, "Now where did I put that flashlight? And I hope it's got batteries in it." Well, it does, because you have your Lord Jesus. You're not going to find your way without him, without the light, without the Lord Jesus. He is the light. What he says is the light. Where he's taking us is filled with his light, like his transfiguration, shining like the sun. Book of Revelation tells us, chapter 21, "I saw no temple in the city. Its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Until that time, though, 1 John chapter 5, we know that we are from God. And we know that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, the darkness. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. And so, we have the prophetic word. We have God's word in the Bible, but we have the prophetic word even more confirmed, more fully confirmed, because we have the one who wrote it, from whose mouth it came into the ears of the prophets and the apostles. We have the word of God more fully confirmed, and you do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Because as the Lord said, this one here, this Jesus, this is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. Now you listen to him. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.